Coming up on Simply Superior.
Simply Superior, news and issues from a superior point of view.
If it sounds like there's more birds than normal in our area lately, there are.
Some of the birders are just saying it's almost as if the birds are dropping right out of the sky.
We head to Wisconsin Point for an unusually busy spring migration. Plus, their roots are in Duluth at rival high schools.
It did help, perhaps, meeting in the Twin Cities, because I will say, when I was at Denfeld, my interaction with East High School students was almost non-existent.
Now, they've joined together musically in the Twin Cities. We'll hear from White Line Darko. Those stories and the regional news and review after this.
News and issues from a superior point of view.
Their roots are in Duluth at rival high schools.
It did help, perhaps, meeting in the Twin Cities, because I will say, when I was at Denfeld, my interaction with East High School students was almost non-existent.
Now, they've joined together musically in the Twin Cities. We'll hear from White Line Darko. Plus, if it sounds like there's more birds than normal in our area lately, there are.
Some of the birders are just saying it's almost as if the birds are dropping right out of the sky.
We head to Wisconsin Point for an unusually busy spring migration. Welcome to Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington. If you think you've been hearing an unusually large number of birds this spring, it's not your imagination. It's the migration season, and it's busier than usual for reasons we'll hear about in a moment. Where there are birds, there are bird watchers. And that's all of us, really, when we can't help turning around to find out who's doing all that chirping, even if we can't tell the difference between a sparrow's song or a bald eagle's. That may be harder than it seems, as you'll find out when we test the experts at the end of this segment. But first, among those who do know those bird sounds are members of the Duluth Audubon Society, who joined with the Friends of the Lake Superior Reserve last Saturday for a bird walk on Wisconsin Point to mark Migratory Bird Day. And they were gracious enough to allow this robin to tag along.
Jeff Davis, as Mike said, I'm the president of the Duluth Audubon Society, and we're happy to come alongside of the Friends of the Lake Superior Reserve as they try to highlight the Wisconsin Point and Eloise Bay areas. And it's good to be out during migration right now. Even as we've been standing here, there's been quite a bit happening. Maybe you've noticed the flocks of blue jays migrating overhead, some gulls on the bay, some terns behind us, some yellow rumps chipping, some red starts singing. A lot of things are going on, so it should be a good day, I think.
That day started at 7:30 for the early birds on the lakeside of the point.
And then we'll work our way to the beach and see what we can find there. We've already heard some terns and some gulls there, so a couple of interesting things already.
My name is Mike Krutnick. I am a board member for the Friends of Lake Superior Reserve. We adopt Wisconsin Point with the City of Superior and do bird walks and beach cleanups here. We're here to celebrate World Migratory Bird Day.
We are airing this on Friday the 20th, a week after the walk. Will they still be migrating?
Yes. This is a kind of a peak time for bird migration. These couple 3 weeks right around the time right now, a week or so before this and a couple of weeks after this, is a peak migration time for especially neotropical migrants, warblers and other kinds of species that we're hoping we're going to see some of today.
Do people have to get out from their backyards?
Backyards can be a really good place to see birds, actually, and there'll be a little bit different variety of birds there than there will be at a place like Wisconsin Point, but there's always good birds around for people to see, even sitting right in their kitchen.
Quite a few gulls, of course, with the landfill just down the way here. Three double-crested cormorants flying left to right by the ship. Right now they're flying over a log or something out there that has a bunch of terns sitting on it.
Is it my imagination or are we seeing a larger number of birds this season? Maybe because of the late spring?
Yes. Some of the birders are just saying it's almost as if the birds are dropping right out of the sky. And so we're seeing more birds of greater variety happening what seems like all at once. And then they will take off almost as quickly. And so they can get to their destinations and nest while there's still time in the season.
And is it also my imagination, or do they sing louder this time of year? Or maybe there's just more of them.
It's probably more of them that you're hearing. It might be a little bit louder because, you know, songs do two things for birds. One is that they're trying to attract a mate,
right. And
the other is that they're trying to defend a territory. And right now, that's high on their minds for, you know, that's front of mind for them, to be thinking about reproduction and defending territories. Later on in the summer, it's less of an imperative for them.
Well, they've got their mate already.
Yeah, yeah.
And if they haven't defended the territory, it's too late.
Yeah, so they'll still be singing, but it won't be quite as urgent for them.
We're going to head over to the bay and see what we might see over there. Pelicans in the scope here over on the shoreline over there. There's a number of pelicans over there.
Oh my God.
You told us when we showed up your name is? And
Jeff Davis. I'm the president of the Duluth Audubon Society.
Are those pelicans hanging around or passing through?
Oh, they're passing through. Yep, they're heading up to Lake of the Woods and into Saskatchewan, Manitoba, that kind of area. They're heading up there.
Where were they?
I think for the most part they are down like Gulf of Mexico kind of area. Sometimes people from up here, when they go down to Florida on winter vacation, you know, see our good friends, the American white pelicans there, alongside of their resident brown pelicans that they have down there. And now they're migrating their way up Mississippi River corridor, making their way out to some more prairie lakes. Lake of the Woods, of course, is a little more boreal forest lakes, but yeah, they're a lot of fun to see this time of year. Not only here can you see them, but over on the St. Louis River at Chambers Grove, there's usually a pocket of 100 plus of them that stick around for a couple weeks resting before they head north.
I'm Brittany Gustafson.
From where?
Oh, I live in Duluth.
Was it worth it to get up this hour?
Oh my gosh, yes. It's just a beautiful day. I've never been over here before, so Wisconsin Point's really cool.
So, you've got your bird book, and it is again?
Yeah, it's the Sibley Birds East. Yeah, and I'm just looking up the Lesser and Greater Scops, trying to figure out which ones those are. Well, I just took a birding class, and they said look for where the white is. So at first I thought it was a bufflehead, because like it's all tucked up, and it kind of just, I only saw that white. And then when you see in a scope, it's definitely a scop. Yeah, it just kind of shows you how it looks different when its head's tucked in and whatnot. Oh yeah, look at that.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool.
And are they passing through, or are they going to hang out here?
Let's see.
They are ducks.
Yeah.
This is water.
Yeah, I think, so it looks like in our area, they're only here migratorily for the migratory purposes in the yellow. So that looks like they're just passing through.
And you got one.
Yeah, we saw one.
On the ground, popping to the left, common yellow throat. If you hear their call, they say witchity, witchity, witchity. In the distance, you hear that teacher, 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 teacher. That's an oven bird, which is a kind of a warbler as well. They're your favorite?
Well, because I know what they sound like.
They're one of my daughter's favorites because she imagines a little student saying teacher, teacher, teacher.
And is it a warbler?
It is a warbler. It's not one of our more
colorful, you know, eye-popping colorful warblers. It's a little more drab, but they are definitely among the more vocal.
I think what we'll do, we'll try to call that oven bird in so we can get a look at it. They're pretty territorial and responsive, but they also have kind of smaller territories, so we'll see.
Okay, you've got an app with the oven bird, and you're talking to the oven bird.
I'm trying to communicate, cross-species communication. Do we have eyes on it?
I saw something that crossed over to the left.
Yeah, that's
And to cross over to the left, so it's coming close to take a look at us. This is me. So the oven bird has come closer. It's very close now. Oh, right there.
He's right on the trail.
Right
on
a branch.
Side of the trail, in a red.
Kind of along the right side of the trail where the trail goes.
He's got a sort of a brownish back. Very singing. He's got a spotted belly and a kind of a orangish.
Just about 4.5 feet above. Oh, and it just popped up.
One of the few ground nesting warblers.
Your name?
Pat Collins.
They build a little nest on the ground that's shaped like an old-style bread oven, and they nest on the ground.
What?
That's why they're called an oven bird. After their nest form.
I'm Ann Markham.
And I'm Brenda Grinquist.
From what town?
Solon Springs, Wisconsin.
Lake Nebagamon, Wisconsin.
We're just always trying to learn more about the local birds migrating through.
Have you noticed an increase in your backyard or whatever?
Yes, I have in my backyard. Mm-hmm. Yes, I've seen more warblers than usual this year.
We're seeing the warblers too, and the sparrows and some of the hawks and that too coming through.
Do they appear to be regular visitors or some that you haven't seen before?
I've had a couple that I haven't seen before yet this spring.
Or heard before. You may not
have
seen.
Yeah, you have.
Yeah, I just saw some bay-breasted warblers yesterday morning that I've never had yet. So that was exciting.
All right, you better see them while they last.
That's right.
The oven bird is staying here or passing through?
Staying.
Recently arrived or was it here all winter?
No, it's fairly recently arrived, so in the last week and a half, there have been oven birds.
From where?
I don't know where they winter. Yeah. I don't think they go all the way to Central and South America, but I'll take a look quick. You know, it actually does look like they winter in Florida and Mexico and South. There's the Merlin. People have eyes on the Merlin.
Can you see him right here?
Everybody able to see the Merlin yet? If you step over to this way.
See him from right here.
Yeah, a Merlin is a falcon. What do you think it's eating?
It's got a mouse.
I think it's a mouse?
Yeah,
we got a picture of a mouse.
There he goes.
It might circle back. It just went to the other pine tree. Yeah, there might be a second one. Who knows?
That's crazy. They almost look like the.
So, what did I learn? Because I was concentrating on sound and I didn't bring binoculars, I'm not sure how many new birds I can identify from the outing. But I did pick up some bird songs I hadn't known, and hearing them in the wild does help to remember them. The main takeaway is, yes, this year is different with the shortened migration season after a longer than normal winter. And just as with our own species, our area is a popular destination to stay for the summer or refuel passing through. I'm Wisconsin Point. I'm Robin Washington. And that's enough of my adventures. Now let's hear from a pair of real bird experts. For the migration season last fall, we invited birders Dudley Edmondson and Ben Yoko of Duluth on the show. After telling us what species to look for then, and their personal favorites, they squared off in a bird identification contest. The definitive bird sounds online come from the Cornell Labs AllAboutBirds.org website. I played a few of those for Dudley and Ben. Here's our game from back then. Welcome to Simply Superior, Dudley and Ben.
Hey, Robin. Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Robin.
I am going to play a few of these and flip a coin and who wants to call it?
Heads.
All right, Dudley just said heads, and it is heads, so Dudley will go first. I am going to list the names of 10 bird species and play the song files of 5 of them. Because we're recording this on the phone, for clarity, I sent each of you the files shortly before this call. Each of the files has a number, and we won't necessarily take them in order. So, we are going to start with bird number 5, and you can play that, and I'll play it.
My bird 5 is a crow.
Oh, I didn't even give you the names yet. Okay, so was that a cedar waxwing, a raven, a northern mockingbird, a brown thrasher, an American crow, a black-capped chickadee, a blue jay, a pine warbler, a common loon, or a bald eagle?
That was an American crow.
Ben, do we agree or disagree?
That sure sounded like a crow.
Well, we have one of Dudley's other activities, my bicycle, sitting here, and it has on it a bell that indicates that you are both right. That indeed was an American crow. And I won't begin to ask you to imagine what the bicycle looks like in the basement radio studio of Wisconsin Public Radio, Robin Washington's house bureau, but that's where we are. So moving right along, you both have file number 6. And we will ask you which bird it is. And I guess we could eliminate American crow. All right. Our choices were cedar waxwing, raven, northern mockingbird, brown thrasher, black-capped chickadee, blue jay, pine warbler, common loon, or bald eagle. This time, yes, Ben goes first.
That sure sounded like hey sweetie to me, so I'm going to say black-capped chickadee.
Dudley, agree or disagree?
Oh, definitely agree.
Woohoo.
Yeah,
I love that bell.
All right, so we have eliminated 2, and we are 100%. The next file will be number 3, and please play. And the remaining choices are cedar waxwing, raven, northern mockingbird, brown thrasher, blue jay, pine warbler, common loon, or bald eagle. Dudley, your turn.
Yeah, I'm going to go with northern mockingbird, and I could explain if you want to hear.
I agree with Dudley, northern mockingbird.
And the asterisk is?
Yeah, the other confusing one would be the thrasher, but brown thrashers, catbirds, mockingbirds, if I'm not mistaken, all in the mimic family, and thrashers are double, so they go, hey, hey, you, you, me, me, ah, ah. They do everything double, and I noticed this bird we just listened to did things triplicate or more, and that is what clued me that it wasn't the brown thrasher.
Well, you clearly know your doubles and triples. So let's go on to file number 7. So was that a cedar waxwing, a raven, a brown thrasher, a blue jay, a pine warbler, a common loon, or a bald eagle?
That was a dry trill of a pine warbler.
Dudley?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
So, file number 10, please play. Well, this one was surprising to me, but I'm beginning to doubt at this point it will be for you. So, was that a cedar waxwing, a raven, a brown thrasher, a blue jay, a common loon, or a bald eagle?
No, that was a bald eagle.
And Ben, do you agree?
I agree with Dudley. contrary to popular beliefs, the call we usually hear played for a bald eagle when it's on video is a red-tailed hawk, but that was the actual call of a bald eagle.
Well, I certainly would have fallen for that red-tailed hawk. And not only did you get this right, you got them all right, which makes me wonder why I thought I could stump you two anyway. If I put in an easy one like the crow, it's because I put in a raven too, but you didn't fall for that either by a long shot.
Yeah, you know, we probably have 100 years between the two of us.
I know, exactly.
Of bird watching experience.
And listening.
Yes, listening. Right. It's fun to do these kinds of things. I love to challenge myself and have people challenge my knowledge.
It was a lot of fun, though.
It was, definitely.
Well, most importantly, you didn't embarrass me for what I now know was a ridiculously easy quiz. You're great sportsmen and even greater birders. Thank you, Dudley Edmondson and Ben Yokel.
Thanks for doing this, Robin.
Hey, Robin, thanks. I really enjoyed it.
Coming up, their roots are in Duluth, but they put it together musically in the Twin Cities. We'll hear from White Line Darkle. Welcome back to Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington. If you're from Duluth, you know there's more than a little rivalry between Benfield High School and East High School, and for that matter, Hermantown has its own demographic and social personality too. So is there any chance that three guys with allegiances to all of these could make music together? Well, they have, and maybe they had to go to neutral territory of the Twin Cities to do it. But the trio formed the group White Line Darkle with a fourth from the Twin Cities, and they're just about to release an EP, Turning Out. We'll turn it over to lead singer Kenneth Zierman, the Denfield grad, to tell us all about it. Welcome to Simply Superior, Ken.
Hello. Thank you for having me, Robin.
So one burning question I'm sure everyone has is the band's name, but you can keep us in suspense on that for a while.
Well, I could tell you about it if you want.
You will, but not now. What we really want to know right now is, how did you get together? Did you get together up here first, or did you have to move to the cities to decide, you know, it wasn't going to be a rumble?
Well, so White Line Darko is actually a four-piece, and it has myself and the lead singer. I play guitar, usually. It also features Nolan Jusila, who plays keyboards and does background vocals, and he is one of the Duluth natives. He and I go further back than anyone else in the band. We first met at a piano academy in West Duluth. We must have been 12 or 13. We were both taking lessons, and I'll never forget a recital that we had. I had never met Nolan before, and most of the other kids in this academy were a couple years younger, so they were playing somewhat easier pieces. And my sick ego at that age would enjoy playing a much more complex piece after all of the Ode to Joys and whatnot, and, you know, take my big bow. I played this piece, was feeling good, and then lo and behold, the student after me, who happened to be Nolan, went up and played something that I want to say he played the theme song to Peanuts, and he just killed it. And I remember sitting in the crowd or whatever, just fuming, like, who is this guy stealing my thunder right now? Like, come on. And we became friends after that. So we've been friends for a long time, but he did not join White Line Darko until he moved down to the cities. I moved down to Minneapolis in 2016 after graduating from Denfeld High School. And I was going to college for studio production. And after about 2 years of being in the cities, I decided to start this band. And at first it was just me making the music, recording all of it. But I created the project with the hope of one day that it would become a band. And so Nolan ended up moving down to the cities, and I was looking for a keyboard player. You know, I remembered those recital days and asked if he wanted to hop on. So Ben Olette is our drummer. And he hails from East Duluth. Mm-hmm.
At East High School, I assume.
And he graduated from East High School. He grew up in Lakeside, which is just a beautiful little neighborhood in Duluth. And he and I did not become acquainted until 2019, I think. And we were actually connected through my cousin, who also went to East. He knew at the time that I was looking for a drummer. And he knew Ben from when he went to high school and knew that Ben was living in the city. So he connected the two of us, and we met at a Raising Cane's. And I kind of just, you know, was trying to see what he was about and see if he'd be a good match. And we bonded over some excellent fried chicken. And that was a position that we were having a little bit of an issue trying to maintain a consistent drummer. And then we met Ben, and it's been locked in ever since. I mean, he's just the absolute best for what we do. And the fourth member, his name's Matthew Nicolai, and he grew up in the cities. So I ended up meeting him when I came down here for college.
So I'm thinking that you guys are breaking some stereotypes. I can get it that Nolan was from Hermantown, so he might be in piano lessons. But your yes. Denfeld person, you know, classical music doesn't immediately come to mind. If anything, you would think the East guy would do that. So first of all, break my stereotypes and destroy it all.
Well, I guess I never really thought about it. In that sense, the rivalry, to me, always existed in the personalities of the school. But I don't know, I feel like there's just as much possibility that classical music might come out of Denfeld as East, I guess.
There we go, right. That's the point of stereotypes, is to break them.
Yeah, exactly. But I can see what you're, you know, saying. Like, of course, the cake eaters out East, the classical music, you know, the savants of society or what have you. But, I mean... If you were to talk to Ben or meet Ben, that stereotype would probably break upon impact. I mean, I think it did help to some degree, perhaps, meeting in the Twin Cities past our high school experience. Because I will say, when I was at Denfeld, my interaction with East High School students was
minimal.
Very minimal, right. Almost non-existent, right. You know.
All right. Yeah, well, so it took the Twin Cities to get you together, and we're thankful for that. We're speaking with Kenneth Zierman from the group White Line Darko, a group of greater Duluthians now joined together in the Twin Cities. We're going to let your music do some of the talking. You've got a piece, Penthouse, and see if we can hear any strains of the Charlie Brown theme as interpreted by Nolan Jusla on piano. Here is Penthouse. And that was Penthouse by the group White Line Darko. We are speaking with the lead singer and guitarist from the group, Kenneth Zierman. The group is mostly composed of Greater Twin Portians. Is that what we're called here?
Yes.
But they are now even greater Twin Cityans plus a fourth. You know, that last piece had a pretty prominent piano, maybe not Charlie Brown, but I'm wondering if it had some of the influence of your teacher, Rianne Hamlin?
Yeah. Yeah, my experience at Hamlin Academy was foundational, I think, in my appreciation of music. I actually was exposed to true music theory. And, you know, Rianne did such a good job of kind of meeting me where I was at when I came into the academy and understood what inspired me, I think, and moved with me in that direction to a point where by the time, you know, I was done at Hamlin and my view of how to play music or construct a song or just how notes on a keyboard or a fretboard of a guitar was so further expanded. And I picked the guitar back up after my piano lessons and it was like a whole new instrument, honestly.
Great. So part of your bio says the code beauty of the Twin Ports was home to us and always mm-hmm. will be. So how does that manifest itself in your music, or does it?
Oh, I certainly believe it does. I think, you know, the place a person grows up and the experiences they have as they grow up in that place, you know, will shape so much about how that individual turns out. And I think so for us, you know, having three members that grew up in Duluth and, you know, spent 8 months out of the year either inside or building snow forts or, you know, anything you would associate with cold wintertime activities or whatever we were doing it. I'm somewhat embarrassed when I return home to visit my family or whatever, and I realize what a softy I've become.
In the Twin Cities. Oh yeah, it's really mild temperatures down there, right?
Oh my. Well, seriously, I have noticed a difference. I mean, back to the music thing. I think if anything, growing up in Duluth for us associates itself with the music in the fact that it's such a outdoors kind of experience, whether it's hiking or biking or just walking around. I mean, most of my time, I think, growing up was, you know, running around and spending time outside. And so I think it's a little more quiet, you know, and a little easier to just enjoy some of the more natural things has lent our music what I hope to be a more organic kind of sound.
All right. And by the way, don't forget the other side of the coin, which is we have absolutely beautiful summers and all the people from the cities come up here and Superior
right.
too.
That's why it's a double-edged sword. It's a beautiful thing.
There we go. And let's hear Don't Give Up. Before you tell me otherwise, I'm going to say that is a reminder of how great everything will be in July, right? So
yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
take it very far. Holding hands across the land with nowhere man. Do you find a pressure rising? Is it really so surprising? At the point of no return, when will we learn? Drive slow.
Was Don't Give Up by White Line Darko. Our guest is the lead singer, guitarist from the group that has 3 out of 4 members with Twin Ports roots. So the name.
So I like to say that, you know, the name could mean whatever to anyone because it is kind of a vague semblance of words, certainly. But I had watched a movie called Donnie Darko. I guess you would classify it more as like an indie film, and it came out in the early 2000s. And it's pretty complex. I won't try and extrapolate it here, but it just struck a chord with me. And I also just thought the name Darko sounded cool.
And the white line?
Well, if I'm being totally honest, most people think it's like some kind of cocaine reference, which it's not. But for me, when I was naming it, I knew I liked the Darko thing that came first. And a day or two after I watched that movie, I was driving on the road. And as I was driving, I was just considering how, you know, we're all in these little metal hulls with flaming engines driving around. And all that separates me from the person over in their big metal box is this white line in the road. There's just something about the ability to cross over the white line.
Gotcha. I call that part of the social fabric. We drive on the right in the United States. When someone starts driving on the left in the United States, we have a problem, and I hope we don't get to that point. So we're not going to worry about that problem. We're going to worry about where we can find more about your music.
It's whitelinedarko.com, all one word, whitelinedarko, lowercase.com. And you can find all of our music on any online music platform, from iTunes to Spotify to Apple Music to Amazon. Just search White Line Darko and you will find it. We're all over.
All right. And how about a song to take us out?
If we go with The Times, then that song is the second single of the double single / EP that's coming out on June 10th, and it's called Turning Out. So The Times is the second song, Penthouse is the first.
All right. We've been speaking with Kenneth Zierman from the group White Line Darko. And one more thing about your name. Nobody's going to mistake you for anybody else. A group of Greater Duluthians plus one now joined together in the Twin Cities. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
The times are getting crazy, or maybe it's me.
Welcome back to Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington, and I'm joined by Rick Lubbers, the executive editor of the Duluth News Tribune. Hello, Rick.
Hi, Robin.
Danielle Kading, our Superior-based reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio News, is off today. So, Rick, I understand we finally have a resolution in the Proctor High School football assault case that's been held pretty secretive since it happened last fall.
Yes, there is. A former Proctor High School football player pleaded guilty on Tuesday to sexually assaulting a teammate in a post-practice incident that he described as a joke that went too far. Now 18, the man admitted to using a toilet plunger to assault the 15-year-old, who he said he chased down with a half dozen other teammates following the varsity practice on September 7. Rumors of the assault led to the cancellation of the team's season, significant community and social media outcry, a lengthy police investigation, and the resignation of the team's coach. And now, in pleading guilty to a felony count of third-degree criminal sexual conduct, the defendant agreed to be designated as an extended jurisdiction juvenile. Now, what this means is his case will be technically in juvenile court, but he will also receive a stayed adult sentence. Judge Dale Harris advised the defendant that he will almost certainly remain on probation until his 21st birthday. That will be in January 2025. And this is when the juvenile court's jurisdiction expires. Precise terms and conditions will be determined by Harris at a disposition hearing on June 20. So there's a little bit more to be found out then. Tuesday's hearing had been scheduled for the judge to consider whether the defendant, who was 17 at the time of the offenses, should be certified to stand trial as an adult. But St. Louis County Prosecutor Corey Horn dropped that motion, saying that the extended juvenile sentence was the appropriate outcome after the defendant underwent a psychosexual evaluation, individual family assessment, and a certification study.
And he's the only one who's been charged?
Correct. The incident is still under investigation by the Proctor Police, as well as the St. Louis County Attorney's Office. But as of now, there have not been any announced charges against anyone other than this young man. Court records are public only if the suspect is 18 or older at the time of the offense, or if felony-level charges are filed against a 16- or 17-year-old, or if a 14- or 15-year-old is certified as an adult.
All right. Well, we had a downpour this week. Was that just another late spring storm or something bigger?
Yes, state of local emergency was declared Tuesday morning during an emergency St. Louis County board meeting. The declaration will enable the county to receive state and possibly federal funding to repair flood damage that's been happening across the county. St. Louis County Public Works Director Jim Fuldesi said the cumulative flooded areas across the county have caused enough damage to reach the threshold of about $380,000 to $420,000, and that would qualify the county for state assistance. And all this, of course, is caused by flooding, which has happened as a result of snow melt and rain over the last several weeks. Commissioners said it's hard to estimate when the region could actually see its peak, but flooding will likely continue for another couple of weeks or so. Some of the hardest impact has been seen at the Vermilion Dam and the Vermilion River. No one has yet had to be evacuated, but evacuation routes are in place in case that action becomes necessary. Commissioner said sandbagging is currently the first priority of defense.
Well, in the harbor of Duluth Superior, which is where all that water is supposed to be, we had a special visitor sailing in the port.
Yes, many people probably saw this a couple days ago, but the USS Minneapolis-St. Paul, a naval ship to be commissioned by the U.S. Navy, arrived in port Monday morning. The Minneapolis-St. Paul is scheduled for commissioning at 10 a.m. Saturday. And then it would be moved to its home port in Florida, where it will have a crew of about 140 sailors. It was built in Wisconsin, and it is a Freedom-class littoral combat ship, and it was launched and christened June 15 of 2019. The Minneapolis-St. Paul is expected to become the first anti-submarine warfare combat ship in the U.S. Naval fleet. It is designed for speed in shallow water and nearshore combat. The Navy describes anti-submarine warfare as a branch of underwater warfare that uses surface warships, aircraft, or other submarines to find track, and deter, damage, or destroy enemy submarines.
All right. Well, it's good to know in case we have any submarines hanging around Lake Superior, right? You know, I have to ask, it couldn't go down to Mississippi to Minneapolis-St. Paul to get commissioned? I mean, we love it here, but...
Yeah, that's a good question. I thought about that, too.
Well, apparently they took the easier route, and again, we appreciate them being here. So from the sea to the air, things are hopping, or maybe flying high, right, at Cirrus lately.
Yes, I guess you describe it as a good problem for a company, but Cirrus Aircraft can't quite keep pace with demand for the airplanes that it produces. Leaders for the Duluth-based company say it has nearly doubled its production of aircraft in the past 3 years, yet long lead times persist. So if you're looking to buy a Cirrus aircraft today, you could reasonably expect to take delivery of that aircraft no sooner than late 2024. 3 years ago, Cirrus employed about 1,300 people. Today, that number is about 2,100, with more than 1,200 of them working in Duluth. And the company is looking to fill about 400 positions yet this year. In 2021, Cirrus shipped 528 new aircraft to customers, booking almost $633 million in sales. That's nearly a 16% increase in business compared to what it did in 2019 prior to the pandemic. In this tight local labor market, Cirrus leaders have increased the wages and benefits offered and have been actively advertising employment opportunities both for experienced and entry-level positions. It's also promoting the mobility its employees enjoy with multiple avenues to advance in the company. As its production grows, Cirrus is looking to expand into the Duluth aircraft maintenance base formerly occupied by AAR. It also recently completed a 16,000-square-foot expansion of its paint shop.
Well, things are, as we said, beginning to fly high if they get the employees that they need. We've been speaking with Rick Lovers, the executive editor of the Duluth News Tribune. Thank you, Rick.
Thanks, Robin.
You can stay updated on these stories and all the regional news anytime at WPR.org and DuluthNewsTribune.com. And that's it for this edition of Simply Superior. We leave you with more of the music of White Line Darko. I'm Robin Washington. Stay safe, everyone. The future.